fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as sea, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as sea, wash all my sins away. If sins by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till
Bibles open to Mark chapter number 1. Appreciate the good singing this morning. Mark chapter number 1. I want to continue in our series of messages on the enemy. And we certainly do have an enemy. But I'm glad we have an ally too. And greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. But I want to alert you about our enemy. And so I want to take just a moment on two things here. Okay, number one, today is Sunday. And in 2 days from now, every person here that is of age should be at the ballot box voting. That's right. You should be there to vote. You say, well, I'm not going to vote. Well, then don't you complain now when things continue to go downhill. And I'm not going to preach this. As a matter of fact, Brother Dan, at the close of our service, is going to come say a word to let you know that at 5 o'clock he'll be here to answer any questions you may have about the vote itself. We have a report card in the back. He'll say more about that, about how you could know. Listen, we need to know about who we're voting for. Absolutely. Don't just go out and punch a ticket. Know who you're voting for, because you're going to be held accountable for it, and you're going to have to live with it after you vote. And so that's number one. And we'll hear more about that. Brother Dan's going to come take just a moment. He's going to say a word at the close of the service, but he will be here at 5 o'clock for anyone who comes and have questions. He spoke last week about the write-in. There's just things that we need to equip ourselves. Brethren, we need to do our part. And we will continue to do that here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Number two, we hear a lot today about war. And we have people concerned, well, you know, this president we have, he's going to get us all in a war. I want to tell you, we're already at war. And if you're one of those that think, well, you know, we're going to mess around and get in world war, we're already in world war. And if you don't realize that, then you are in a huge way making a mistake. Except for the war that we're in, it's not a tangible, physical, visible war. It is a spiritual war. And I'm afraid that mankind is losing in a big way. And so I want to tell you something about the enemy that we're fighting. And I've been doing this for about 3 weeks now, 2 weeks, this will be our third week. And I want to continue to do so. And I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to put away anything that would distract you. I have prayed and asked God to put a hedge about this place. And I want to ask you, if you haven't done that, to do so while I'm preaching this morning. To put a hedge about me. Put a hedge about your mind to keep things from distracting you. You need to hear what I'm going to tell you about the enemy this morning. He doesn't want you to hear it. He doesn't want you to hear it. He wants you to keep thinking you're okay. Listen, if you're sitting beside a young lady that's going to take your attention, get up and move. If you're sitting beside a young man that's going to take your attention off what I've got to say this morning, get up and move. I won't think less of you. I'll think more of you. If you're sitting close to somebody that's a distraction, tap them on the shoulder. I need to hear what this man's got to say. I got to fight this guy next week. Listen to me. I'm going to war. And whether you realize it or not, you are too. And I don't say that to be mean. I don't say it to be forward. I say it seriously. Because there are devils who are in church today. Just like there was right here in this passage of Scripture that was read in your hearing. Satan in the synagogue. It happens often. And so I'm very, very concerned that we have a lot of folks who claim to be a Christian who do not understand the warfare we're in. They're losing in a major way. And do not even realize it, and are not going to realize it until they're too far down the slippery slope to get up again. So listen carefully. It's very, very important that you understand that you are in a warfare. You say, well, preacher, I'm not going to fight. No, you're going to become a fatality. You must fight. And I want to equip you from God's word on how to fight this fight. It is serious business. There are people whose lives are in a ruin, in wreck, because they have failed to realize they are in this warfare. The devil's real, brethren. Just because the world laughs and mocks and scoffs, and a lot of preachers will not tell the truth on him and not preach that there's a place called hell and there's a real devil and there's sin and there's ruin and there's wreckage and there's all type of what is just absolutely ungodly out there, that doesn't mean that it's not so. It just means that he has the upper hand, and we need to be aware of this. So I plead with you, listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you this morning. Not because I'm saying it. I'm going to give you Scripture. As I do. Always give you Scripture, because this is important. There are some people sitting in this building right now. You know the devil has the upper hand on your life. You know it. You may not even realize where you're headed. You may think you're okay, but you see, you're not. And there's others that see it. Someone has come to you and said, hey, you're in a bad way, or you're off course here, and you, just like these devils, we're going to see here just in a moment, just like this man with the devil, you have said, oh, I've got this. But listen, the devil will have you saying that right until the point to where you don't have it, and it'll be too late. Now, it can happen to any of us. I want you to realize that. I want to tell you some things about the devil this morning. God be my helper. Now listen to me. He's real. If I didn't have an ounce of scripture, and I have all kinds of scripture, just from experience alone, I have fought this sorry nobody. Listen, he is about as low and lewd as you can get. I have fought him from the day that I can remember, especially from the day I got saved. I have fought him and still fighting him today. And you know what I'm talking about. He's real. There's some people fighting him and don't even realize they're fighting him. There's some people thinking things and don't even want, listen, they don't even realize why they're thinking those things. There's some people living in such a mess, don't even realize why they're living in that mess. It's because of the enemy I'm going to tell you about this morning. There are people that in such a way in their life, I mean, their life is in shambles, and they have gotten up and they have said, how in God's name did I get here? I'm going to tell you how you got there. This enemy I'm going to tell you about this morning. You see, there's people thinking about doing things and they're wondering, why am I thinking them crazy things? Why are those thoughts coming to my mind? Why do I have thoughts like that? You have an enemy. And the Bible teaches that he can put thoughts in your mind. You say, can the devil put thoughts in our mind? Peter said in Acts chapter 5, he said, Ananias, he said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost? John chapter 13, he put it in Judas's heart to betray the Lord Jesus. Read the scripture, brethren. He put it in Jesus' heart. You mean Jesus spoke to him and said, I dare you to turn those stones into bread. Don't you think he won't put thoughts and things and persuasions in our minds? Sure he does. Matthew 13 says not only can he put them in, he can take out. Said when the seed of God, read it sometime, Matthew chapter 13. Jesus said when that seed is sown, he said then the devil will come and snatch it out before it has time to germinate and do its work in our hearts and lives. So this enemy is very formidable now. Listen to me carefully. Very formidable enemy that we have. Been doing this a long time, has he? And he's not going to give up until his fate is sealed and he is thrown into hell. And that is where he's going. The Bible teaches that the devil's real. He was Lucifer, son of the morning. You can read that in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 15. You can read it in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. You can read about Lucifer and how he fell. Jesus talks about how that he saw Lucifer fall as lightning from the earth, from the sky. The Bible teaches that this Lucifer, when he fell, that he brought a host of angelic beings with him. Some people believe, in accordance to Revelation chapter 12, that it's about one-third of the angelic host fell with him. Now, some of them are reserved under darkness and chains until the judgment of the great day. And they're going to be released on this earth in the tribulation period. But not all of them are. Not all of them are. Just some of them. Those that kept not, Jude said, their first estate. However, there are some that are roaming free on this earth. And they are devils. They are, the Bible calls them in Ephesians chapter 6. Write it down, verses 10 through 18, and particularly verse number 12. It says that there's principalities and there's powers and there's rulers. Not singular, not a ruler. There's rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Very real. Very real is the devil, and very real are his cohorts, the devils. And the Bible teaches that they are coming against the government of God, and they're coming against the people of God. The scripture teaches this. Now, listen, the devil cannot defeat God. As a matter of fact, I want you to know something about the devil. I'll not get to this today, so I want to go ahead and get it in right now. He is defeated. I didn't say he's going to be defeated. He is defeated. Christ defeated him. And he is going to hell. I didn't say he was in hell. I said that's where he's going. Read Revelation chapter number 20. Satan is going to hell. And he's going to be thrown in there where the beast and the false prophet will already be. I know how this thing ends. However, until that time, we still have a fight on our hands, brethren. And he wants to destroy your life and my life. We've seen that in the Bible. Now, here's the case where the devil went to church. Now, devils go to church. When you go looking for the devil, don't pass up the pulpit, because there's a lot of them standing in our pulpits today. You say, well, now, preacher, when I go to looking for the devil, I'm going to go down to the back alleys and the places of the dregs and where the downcast are. Well, you'll find them there, too. But you'll find them in the up class. You'll find them in the churches. You'll find them even behind the pulpit in many of our churches today. Devils. Paul said they were ministers of righteousness. He is an angel of light, and he has a kingdom, he has a ministry, and he's going around trying to foil everything that God is doing. Been doing it from the beginning. Here in the scripture that we have before us, I want to give you just some quick thoughts. I want you to write these down. Number one, the reality of devils. Very real. They're very real. Now, the devil wants you to laugh and to think, ah, the devil. The devil wants you to think of cartoon characters, red suits and pitchforks and pointed tails, and that's not the devil. That's not the devil. But he's real, and he has a host, and he is fighting a fight, and he intends to destroy our lives. Now, how is the devil fighting us? The Bible says we're not ignorant. 2 Corinthians chapter number, I think it's chapter 2, verse 11 says, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Now, I'm going to give you some of his devices today right here out of this, all right? There's some things I want you to write it down. The reality of the devil. The reality of the devil, or reality of devils. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, throughout the New Testament, you'll find where there were people that were filled with unclean spirits. There was one man who had a legion of devils. Some people say that could have been up to 5,000. I don't know. I don't know. I just know this. I know that the devil is out to wreck and ruin our lives. He wants to influence our life. Now, before I get into this too deep, I want you to understand about the reality of the devil is the devil cannot make you do anything. The devil cannot make you do anything. Now, I thought about this morning. God woke me up this morning about 4:30. He used the time change to help with it, amen. But he woke me up this morning about 4:30, and I had this thought on my mind. I have been saying for years, because I grew up in this era where I actually used to own a t-shirt that said, the devil made me do it. And it had a little devil with a smile on it, you know, looking real mischievous. I grew up in that era. Perhaps some of you did too. I know some of you did. And I thought, well, you know, that is a truth, that is a saying that we need to debunk. The devil can't make you do anything. However, I want you to see something today. What the devil does do is he can't make us do anything, but the Bible says that every man, hear me now, is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Did you get that? The devil will make you want to do it. Now listen to me. He can't make me do it, but he'll make me want to do it. Hear me now. There are even people that the devil has made believe that they've got to do it. You've got to end it right here, right now. There's no way out. You've got to end this thing right now and take your life. I am stunned at the amount of young people in our society today that end their lives. You know why? The devil. Yeah. The devil, the enemy I'm going to tell you about this morning. Now, he can't make them do it, but he can make them think, you've got to do this. There's no way out. You've got to do this. So, I want to change, and I want you to understand what I'm getting ready to say. While the devil, I've said it for years, can't make you do it, he can make you want to do it. See, that's drawn away of your own lust, right? He'll appeal, hear me now, to our fallen nature. Doesn't he do it, brethren? He'll appeal to that old Adamic fallen nature. And he'll say, you ought to do that. You ought to do that. And if you can't get us that way, he'll say, you've got to do it. Not, you ought to do it. You've got to do it. There's no way out. You're boxed in. You've got to do this. but it's not right. You've got to do it. I don't want to do it, but you've got to, he'll say. That's our enemy. That's our enemy. I look around today, and brethren, you know and I know, it's happened over the course of time. There are so few people that have smiles on their face anymore. Me and Pastor David went visiting Friday, and we got to talking about young people, and we began to talk about this one young man in particular. It breaks my heart to see young people with no joy, no purpose. They're sad all the time. What's wrong with that, brethren? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's an enemy. It's the enemy. And he has gotten so much of a hold on people's lives that they just feel like, I have nothing to live for. I'm not happy. I have no joy. I have nothing. I want to tell you this morning that we have everything. God has been so good to us. So good, and somehow the devil takes people and he gets them, and he's done it in my life, he's done it in yours, and he'll get us in this state of mind to believe that God doesn't love us, that these people don't love us, and those people don't love us, and that there's no way out, and that our lives are just a failure. That's the devil. Listen to me, it's the devil. The reality of the devil, there's three ways that he's coming after you. I want you to write them down, would you? Number one, oppression. Oppression. The Bible teaches demon or devil oppression. You say, what do you mean oppression? You know what oppression is. Oppression deals with the body and the mind. To oppress, we've heard of oppressive rulers, world rulers before, and we've heard of them oppressing their people like communist dictators. Oppression means to rule over, to put down, to take authority. I want you to turn in your Bible just for a moment to Acts chapter number 10. Would you? Now go there quickly. I must hurry because I want you to see these scriptures. Acts chapter 10. So I'm going to give you just a few moments to get there. I'll write it down and go there later. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing. Watch this now. All that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about doing good and healing. Who was he going about doing good and healing? All that were oppressed of the devil. See, this is one of the devices of the devil that I want to shed light on for you this morning. I want you to see that this devil, these devils are oppressive. They come against our minds. They come against our bodies, and they weigh us down. They dominate. They try to take over our thought life. They try to take over what we do and where we go and how we live. That's the devil. You say, well, preacher, the devil won't do me that way. I'm saved. The devil will too do you that way, though you are saved. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You must walk in the Spirit. You must understand that there's an enemy, and you must fight the good fight of faith. You must put on the whole armor of God. Listen to me. You just cannot get up every morning and say, well, I'm saved, and the devil's not going to bother me. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not. The devil is going to bother you, coming after you, going to take you down if you do not suit up. Hear me now. It's real. If you don't get a hold of some scripture and claim some truth in this book, and when the devil comes, say, it is written. It is written. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I plead the blood of Jesus over my body and over my mind, over my home. I plead the name of Christ in the authority of Jesus Christ. I say, get out of my life. He said, ah, preacher, I'm not going to do it. You better do it. Now, you better hear me this morning. This is real. Amen. We've got a lot of Christians, a lot of people, I believe with all of my heart, they truly saved. But they've gotten to where Peter said they've forgotten that they were once purged from their old sins. It can happen. It's happened to me. It'll cause you to do things you thought you would never do. It'll cause you to think things you thought you would never think. It'll cause you to act in such a way you thought you would never act. I'm telling you, devil oppression is real. There are people hurting in their bodies, and they wonder, what in God's name is going on with me? I go to the doctor, and they say there's nothing wrong, but they're hurting in their bodies all day, every day. What's wrong with you, sister? I don't know. I just feel terrible all the time, preacher. What's wrong with you, brother? I don't know. I just feel like I'm going crazy, preacher. What's wrong with me? I'll tell you what's wrong with many of them. Oppressed of the devil. I realize in the society in which we live, this educated society, they might hear a preacher like this and say, I'll tell you right now, that man right there is an uneducated, ignorant fool. Call me what you will, but I'm preaching to you what this book teaches. And I'd rather be coined an uneducated fool by the world and know that I have stood and given you the truth of God's word to protect you from the enemy any day, brother. Any day. Amen. Not backing off of what this book says. Amen. And this book says that the devil's devices, one of them is oppression. It's oppression. Oppression means, I looked it up in the Webster's 1828, it means to rule over, to put down, to take authority. And here I read in your hearing where the Bible says that Jesus in his earthly ministry went about and he was healing and doing good to all them that were oppressed of the devil. It's still going on today. Still going on. Now there's other scriptures I could give you. I'll tell you this. I see in the New Testament, you read through it, where Jesus was going from city to city, town to town, and he met many, many people that were oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of the devil. So, oppression. Now, that's the first thing. The second word I want you to write down is obsession. Okay? So the devil, one of his devices, turn back to Mark chapter 1 if you would please. One of his devices is oppression. He'll come against your mind. He'll come against your body. He'll dangle. The Bible, James chapter 1 says enticement. He'll dangle bait and just try to lure us away, right? Going for the big catch. Try to get us away from what we know. Listen, when you get saved, God gives you the Holy Ghost. Listen, the Spirit of God comes and takes up permanent residence in you, and the Spirit of God is our teacher. And he teaches us what's right and wrong. Brethren, it's not a matter if we know what's right and wrong. I'm going to tell you what's a matter of. It's a matter of the enemy winning out over us and persuading us to do wrong instead of right. And it happens. It happens. That's why we need to pray one for another. Listen, it'd be easy when a man falls to go over there and kick him and say, oh, I knew he wasn't going to make it. You need to pray for that man. That man has been overtaken by the enemy. Brethren, we ought to be that brother's ally. We ought to be the first ones there to minister to him spiritual first aid and say, oh my, I didn't pray for you like I should have, brother. I'm ashamed. I didn't pray for you like I should have. Or God spoke to my heart about speaking to you and I didn't do it and I'm sorry. Hey, I'm talking to you about things that are real. They're real. There's people sitting, I'm just 100% convinced of it. There's people sitting right now under the sound of my voice and the devil's got you at the precipice and you're getting ready to jump off. Jump off! Into what, preacher? Oh, I don't know. Drugs? Adultery? Thievery? Stealing? Improper business practices? I don't know. I just know my enemy. I'm not ignorant to his devices, and God doesn't want you to be either. Don't have to be. Oppression. And then there's obsession. Have you ever seen a day? I thought this past week, what's wrong with me? That's it. That's it. Have you ever seen a day when people are just so driven to do anything? Folks can't do anything a little bit anymore. My son Marcus came over to the house and he was talking about little Carter getting involved and playing sports. And I said, Marcus, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm about up to here with these sports. About done with them. What do you mean, preacher? I thought you liked sports. I do. Actually, it kind of borderlines love. I love sports. But I got to tell you something. I'm about sick and tired of people putting sports above God.
Amen.
I heard a man say one time, and I had to question it, but I no longer question it. He said, you could throw a ball into hell and half America would jump in after it. I'm about convinced that that's so now. You can't get people serious about serving God and living life from going down to the local youth ball center.
Everything revolves around ball. Their whole life. But it's not just sports. We don't know how to do anything leisurely anymore. You know why? We're obsessed. Got folks that can't stay off their phone. You know why? Obsessed. Got folks looking at inappropriate websites. I'm just going to call it what it is. Pornography. You know why? Obsessed. Yeah. Obsessed. We can't do anything just moderately anymore. In moderation. Just, we're living in a generation of we're obsessed. You know why? It's the devil. The devil will drive you and drive you. Listen to me now. He'll drive you and drive you and take something that really could be a good thing and make it a bad thing. Isn't that what the devil does? Yeah. You say, preacher, can the devil do that? He's done it with so many. Listen, he's done it with something as good as a church ordinance. Baptism. Baptism's a wonderful thing. Thank God. I remember the day Sharon and I got baptized. I mean, what? Listen, they introduced, we wasn't married then, but they introduced us as Mr. and Miss Freeman. That kind of made me proud. Amen. But we were, listen, what a great day we got baptized. You remember when you got baptized, don't you? What a great day that is. But you know what the old devil's done? He's taken that good thing and said, that's all you need to do is just get baptized. That baptism washed your sins away. Oh, now see, he done took something good and made it bad. He's good at that. And he'll get you obsessed. Obsessed. Sex, drugs, work, sports, hobbies. Here's one. Self. 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 Folks so obsessed with their self that we don't even have time to do the work of God anymore. Oh, listen, it's the devil, brethren. It's the devil. We've quit learning how to prioritize, and we've quit structure and schedule and placing major on the major and minor on the minors, and we've just taken something and just become obsessed. You know why? The devil. He does it. He does it. I could go through this book and show you time after time after time. Turn to Luke just for a moment. In Luke chapter number 6, I want to show you a word that when you began, I did this past week. This word is where we find the devil obsesses people. I want you to see it now. You had Luke chapter 6. Now, there's a couple of other times it's used, but I'm just going to give you this one for sake of time. It's also in Acts chapter 5, verse 16, but I want you to look at this one. Luke chapter number 6. Look at verse number 18. Here's the word that I know that the Bible teaches that Satan obsesses us. It's one of the devices that he uses. He becomes, not in, say, oppression. He does that. He oppresses us, but he obsesses us. See, oppression deals with the body and then the mind. Listen to me now. The oppression deals with the body and then the mind. Obsession deals with the mind and then the body. It does. Luke 6, verse 18. Are you there? And they that were vexed. I challenge you to go home and search this word out, get to its root, and you know what you're going to find? Obsessed. They were tormented with an obsession. Couldn't get it off their mind. They couldn't even live a day and get their mind on other things. All they were thinking about was that thing. That's what this word vexed means. It means that they had just, listen, a one-track mind. That's obsession. See, in the old day, the old English, it's vexed. Tormented. How were they tormented? They were honed in on one thing. Couldn't even work thinking about, I got a drink. Sneaking off into the break room, taking a drink. Listen, drinking on the way to work, drinking while at work, drinking on the way home from work. Why? Obsessed. Obsessed. Couldn't even sit in a church service and worship God and hear what was going on and with the enemy and how I can fight the enemy. You know why? Ball. Ball. My team's playing today. My team's playing today. Wonder if they're going to win. Wonder who's going to this and that. Wonder if that one's going to be able to play, or is that one going to be out injured? You know why? Obsessed. Obsessed. Hear me now. It's a device of the devil. I know this is not a pleasant message, but I'm trying to help us, brethren. I want you to understand that that enemy that is out there that wants to absolutely ruin our lives is going to do it through oppression coming from the outside and obsession. What happens, preacher, when people get oppressed and obsessed? Turn to Mark just for a moment, if you would. Would you turn to Mark chapter 9? In Mark chapter 9, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 17. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I would ask that you would follow along, because I want you to see a few things here that jump out to me, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. The first thing that I notice in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 17, one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son." My son. I don't know how old this little fellow was. I don't know. People say, "Well, you know, preacher, the devil can't mess with children." Where'd you read that? You didn't read it in the Bible. The devil hates your children. As a matter of fact, the devil will torment you with your children. I can't tell you how many parents didn't sleep last night because of their children. And it wasn't because they were crying for the bottle in the middle of the night. It's because the devil has found place. The parent had given place. The devil had taken that place that had been given, and now the torment, the obsession, the oppression has began. This man, he said in verse number 17, "I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Watch this now. This is what happens to people. "Oh, preacher, won't happen to me. Won't happen to me. I was raised in a preacher's home. I was raised in church. I was born on a church pew. Don't you know?" It will happen to you too. If you don't listen to me, you don't take this serious. Some of you, I'm telling you right now, you're playing with fire. Notice what the Scripture says here in verse number 17. Verse 18, it says, "And wheresoever he taketh him." See, that's oppression. "Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they that they should cast him out." They could not. Verse 20 says, "They brought him," meaning the child, "unto him," meaning Jesus, "and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming." And he said, Jesus answered, said, "How long ago has it been since this unto him?" And he said, look at it now, "of a child." You see that? I just read verse 21. Jesus asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." "Oh, preacher, can't happen to kids." That's not what the book says, brethren. This book's always right. There's a lot of children in our world today, brethren. I mean, they need some major kind of help. I'm not saying that everything that's going on with our children today is. And don't you leave here saying that preacher down there at Fellowship Baptist Church said, or that pastor said, that everything that's wrong with our children's of the devil. Well, I will tell you this, it's because of the curse. But I didn't say it was of the devil. However, I will say there's a lot of it today. It's devil oppression and obsession. Look, and I'll finish up here and we'll close out. I'm not going to finish the message today. Look at verse 22. "Oftentimes it hath cast him in the fire." Isn't that something? Well, I tell you, if that can't get us riled up, if that can't get something sparking in you, I don't know that anything can. This enemy is formidable. And he has no heart. He will stop at nothing. Something, listen, a being that could take a child, oftentimes it'll cast him in the fire, into the waters, to what? Destroy him. Can I tell you, now listen to me, this is his plan for all of the children. "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." What a statement. Every time I read that, it just lets me know that we have a purpose here. And the purpose is to reach the people, to get to people like this right here that are just saying, I need something. I need something outside of myself. There's something going on that I don't fully understand, and I need something outside of myself. I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't feel it, but God knows I need some help. Brethren, we have the answer. It's Jesus. Only Jesus can take care of this enemy. You listening? I'll direct you back now to Mark chapter 1, and this is where we'll close. I'm talking to you about the reality of devils. They're real. And devils have devices. And the Bible says we're not ignorant to these devices. And in short, there's three major devices. Now, we could get in and get into the realm of each one of these and begin to identify different ways of oppression and obsession. All right? That's two. I'm going to give you the third one in just a moment. The oppression, the way he comes against us, and the way he lures, and the way he will just dominate your life. Dominate your life. I have been driving down the road before. I used to think, what is wrong with me? But now I know. I lived a very mixed up, confused teenage life. I can remember driving down the road, and a thought come to mind, just run head on into that telephone pole. What have you got to live for? I think, why do I have thoughts like that? I know now. See, I didn't know then. I thought it was my mixed up life that I was living. But I know I had an enemy that wanted me in hell. Now I know that. I didn't know that then. There's things that he'll put in your minds through oppression and obsession, and he'll try to come against us. He'll try to make you weak. He'll try to make you he'll try to make you sad. He'll depress you. There's occasions. You read about Elijah. You read about Moses. You read about Jonah. You know what they said? These were God's men. These were God's prophets. They said, kill me, God. God, kill me. Why? The enemy. The enemy. I'm a Christian, preacher. Oh, listen, the enemy can oppress you. And the enemy can obsess you. But now the next one the enemy can't do to you as a Christian, and that's possess. We have that right here in Mark chapter number 1. And I won't be able to go into detail with this. But devil possession is very real. I've gotten up many a morning. I'll never forget some mornings that I've gotten up to news where some cad has gone in and shot down innocent children or innocent people in a restaurant or a school or flown planes into a building. Devils. Devils. You listening to me? You say, well, they're this nationality, they're that. Doesn't matter to me what nationality they are. Behind them, devils. Devils. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's devils. Don't get busy on the wrong war front. You'll lose every time. Get on the right war front. It's the only way you're going to win this battle. Understand who your enemy is. So we're back to our text now. Mark chapter 1. They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. My first point, and this will be my final point. My first point was the reality of devils. The second, and it's not my last, but it'll be the final one today, is the authority of Jesus. So we've looked at the reality, but I want to tell you about an authority that can take care of this reality, if you'll just listen to me. You say, preacher, we're doomed. Oh, no. No, we have an enemy. Thank God we have an ally. Are you listening? And the ally showed up at church, too. The devil shows up at church, but I'm going to tell you who else shows up at church when you invite him. The Lord Jesus. I invite him every time we meet here. I believe many of you do. God be our helper. We don't want to just go through and do the church thing, do we? Do we, brethren? We don't want to just do the church thing. I want to have a worship service. Amen. Sirs, that we would see Jesus. Amen. The Bible says right here in verse number 22, they were astonished at the doctrine that he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, Now, here's what happens with a lot of people. I don't want you to miss this now. There's some things that these devils will do. You say, how will I know if I'm being influenced, if I'm being oppressed, and if I'm being obsessed? I'm going to give you one way. One way. Don't miss it now. Look at it. So when Jesus was teaching, he taught them as one having authority. And while he was teaching, this man didn't want to hear the teaching. Now, as long as it's some pussyfooting, spineless professor that doesn't believe in the blood of Jesus and salvation by grace, those devils don't care. They'll sit and listen for hours on end. But you let a spirit-filled man of God get up and preach the word, and I'm going to tell you, folks will start looking at their clock. Folks will start thinking about what's going on at the house, what they did unplug, and what they didn't, and what they forgot to do, and what they didn't. Are you listening? It's the devil. Hear me now. It's the devil. It's those devils. What do those devils say, preacher, when they get around me? I'm going to tell you what they say. When someone comes up to you or a man of God's preaching, notice if you would, in verse number 24, they said, let us alone. Leave me alone, preacher. I know I'm living in sin, but you leave me alone. Quit preaching to me. I know what the Bible says, and I have every intention on continuing to live the way I live. I'm going to tell you, that's a serious way to live life. Dangerous. You know devils are involved in your life. When the man of God gets to preaching, the Sunday school teacher gets to teaching, this is for all age groups now. And the devil says, don't listen to that. Hey, won't you reach over and pinch her? Smile at her. Pass him a letter. Send him a text. I think you just got a notification. Maybe your team scored. You know why? Leave us alone. Isn't that the cry today, brethren? Isn't it? Boy, you Christians, you think you're always right. You think you're better than everybody else. Why don't y'all just leave us alone? One day we're going to. And I don't mean leave you alone by not messing with you. I mean literally, we're going to leave you, comma, alone. Because we're headed out of here. God's going to take us on out of this mess. And you are going to be left alone. And you won't like what's following. So be careful what you pray for and wish for. This is real. So if you sit in church services and you think, just leave me alone. Oh, Dad, just leave me alone. I'm going to listen to that music that dishonors God and cusses God and defiles and degrades authority in women. I'm going to listen to that if you want me to or not, Dad. Just leave me alone. Dangerous devils. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what mama said. I don't care what daddy said. I don't care what the police said. I don't care what they say down at the job. I'm going to live my life. Yeah, you are. Under oppression and obsession. And maybe, if you're not careful, possession. So be careful now. All right? The enemy. Leave us alone. That's the cry of the day when it comes to this book right here. Yeah. Don't tell us what the Bible says. Just water it down, preacher. Water it down. Tickle our ears a little bit. Give us a little 20-minute sermonette and let us go on our way so we can feel good about us doing our church thing. Right. Now, I'm not saying folks like you're doing that. I don't know what's in your heart. I thank God for Fellowship Baptist Church. I'm just warning you. All right? I'm warning you. I thank God for our church. But don't you think that the enemy can't get in now.
Right.
He can. He can get in. So the message this morning is how to deal with devils. Jesus said in verse number 25, shut up, hold thy peace, and get out. That's the way you need to deal with the devil. In the name of Jesus, devil, by the blood of Jesus, shut up and get out. You ready? Are you doing that? You say, preacher, I don't do that. I'm not going to do that. Well, you're going to have to do something to get him away from you. If you think, well, I'm just going to get up and I'm going to do, I'm just not going to participate in gross sin and then the devil will stay away from me. Jesus wasn't participating in any sin and the devil came to him. See, we got this thing all backwards. I'm telling you, the enemy's already planted some seeds and it's got us heading in the wrong direction. You think, well, I'll just get up and I won't rebuke the devil. I won't tell him to shut up and get out and I'll be okay. I don't think so. Not on the authority of this book. The Bible didn't say suit up when the battle gets to raging. It said every day, take unto yourselves the whole armor of God. Every day. Why? Because there's going to be a fight every day. Every day. Now, I want you to stand with me. Say, preacher, you preach like you were mad this morning. Oh, I'm beyond mad. Okay. And I've tried to be angry and sin not. God knows my heart. I care about this flock. I care about my family. I care about your family too. You say, well, you don't even know my family. That doesn't stop me from caring about you. When Jesus saved me, he put a love in my heart that's big enough to include you. I want you to know that now. He did. And I don't want you to fall prey to this enemy that we have. He is real. And he wants to destroy your life. You say, well, I don't want him to. That's not going to stop him from trying to destroy your life. Your desires. You've got to have some weaponry. You've got to have some defense. And Jesus is our defense. All right? The Word of God. It is written. Prayer. Prayer. The Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The church. The brethren. These are great tools for the devices of the devil. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. Would you bow your head with me?